Blog Talk Radio.
Saturday nights at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, Deeper Truth presents Freedom Is Not Free. We look at politics from every conceivable angle.
The one on the right was on the left, and the one in the middle was on the right, and the one on the left was in the middle, and the guy in the rear was a Methodist.
This freewheeling discussion highlights the accomplishments of many who are working to save America.
The guy on his rear said, oh dear.
Donald Hartley, the Catholic defender, and his team host this fast-moving review, along with guest commentator Kansas Representative Bill Sutton, provide thoughtful analysis of where America stands, whether in the crossroads or the crosshairs. To join the conversation, call 646-595-2071, 646-595-2071, and remember, freedom is not free.
And the guy in the rear burned his driver's license.
First day of Christmas, my true love sent to me a partridge in a pear tree.
On the second day of Christmas, my true love sent to me two turtle doves and a partridge in a pear tree.
On the third day of Christmas, my true love sent to me three French hens,
two turtle doves and a partridge in a pear tree. On the fourth day of Christmas, my true love sent to me calling birds,
three French hens,
two turtle doves,
and a partridge in a pear tree. On the fifth day of Christmas, my true love sent to me
five golden rings, four calling birds,
three French hens,
two turtle doves,
and a partridge in a pear tree. On the sixth day of Christmas, my true love sent to me six geese a-laying,
five golden rings, four calling birds,
three French hens,
two turtle doves,
and a partridge in a pear tree.
On the seventh day of Christmas, my true love sent to me seven swans a-swimming,
six geese a-laying,
five golden rings, four calling birds,
three French hens,
two turtle doves,
and a partridge in a pear tree.
On the eighth day of Christmas, my true love sent to me eight maids a-milking,
seven swans a-swimming, six geese a-laying,
five golden rings, four calling birds,
three French hens,
two turtle doves,
and a partridge in a pear tree. On the ninth day of Christmas, my true love sent to me nine ladies dancing,
eight maids a-milking,
seven swans a-swimming, six geese a-laying,
five golden rings, four calling birds,
three French hens,
two turtle doves,
and a partridge in a pear tree. On the tenth day of Christmas, my true love sent to me ten lords a-leaping,
nine ladies dancing,
eight maids a-melting,
seven swans a-swimming,
six geese a-laying,
five golden rings, four calling birds,
three French hens,
two turtle doves,
and a partridge in a pear tree.
On the 11th day of Christmas, my true love sent to me
I sent 11 pipers piping,
10 lords a-leaping,
9 ladies dancing,
8 maids a-melting,
7 swans a-swimming,
6 geese a-laying,
5 golden rings, 4 calling birds,
3 French hens,
2 turtle doves,
and a partridge in a pear tree.
On the 12th day of Christmas, my true love sent to me 12 drummers drumming, 11 pipers piping, 10 lords a-leaping,
9 ladies dancing,
8 maids a-milking,
7 swans a-swimming,
6 geese a-laying,
5 golden rings, 4 calling birds,
3 French hens,
2 turtle doves,
and a partridge in a pear tree, and a partridge in a pear tree.
And welcome to Deeper Truth. Freedom isn't free. America, freedom always comes at a high price. Pope St. John Paul II on our pilgrimage to eternity. And with me tonight, I have Representative Sutton out of Kansas, and I've got Michael from New Jersey and Doc from Tennessee. And there's a reason why I shared that, because, you know, we're talking about politics, and that was a political song, and you may not have known that, but the church calendar has been a work in progress since the very beginning of the church, from the early Christians following our Lord's footsteps down the Via Dolorosa, Latin for the way of grief or way of suffering, to the birthday of the Lord, which is Christmas, which is what we're moving to. We are moving closer to Christmas, and this year is a great reminder of the personal sacrifice that we make during Christmas. There was a point in time when 3 out of 4 Christmas seasons, I was deployed in Iraq. It's tough being deployed away from home for a year or more, but it becomes very difficult, especially during the major holidays. And the Catholic Church instituted the 12 days of Christmas in 567 through the Council of Tours. And ever since then, nations have developed their traditions, and being deployed, we miss the family traditions. And so we do well to try and keep alive our traditions among us in a foreign land. I would use the song, The 12 Days of Christmas, which you just heard, Bing Crosby, to inspire interest in the season. For most Americans, Christmas is over after Christmas Day. We have lost the understanding of the season of Christmas for the most part. I found this out simply through the song, The 12 Days of Christmas. In fact, most thought that the 12 days of Christmas began before Christmas. That Christmas day ended the season. The actual 12th day is January 6th, the Feast of the Epiphany, the Manifestation, with the wise men finding the Christ child after about an 18-month journey following a star. On December 23rd, 2006, from Iraq, I wrote on the defenders of the Catholic faith. Today I was able to sing Christmas carols with Philippine women who work in our laundry department. It was kind of cool. These people are here to make money to send home. It is to such as these that Father began to go to offer, you know, to give Holy Communion. These people have a strong faith and love for the church. Christmas must be a thing of the heart. That's where it plants itself to do good. God be with you all, and Merry Christmas. And I will be going to Midnight Mass, if I can, if there's a Midnight Mass around here. I hope many of you can go. Well, anyway, okay. The church was suffering persecution in England between 1534 and 1829, and it is believed William Shakespeare wrote the song based on a play, 12 Night, in code. The following is the version that I shared. The partridge in a pear tree means that there is only one God and is also symbolic of Jesus, Luke chapter 13, verse 34. I have also heard that the first verse was depicting little baby Jesus in the manger. The two turtle doves are the Old and New Testaments. The three French hens are the Trinity, the persons, you know, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And you could also see gold, frankincense, and myrrh, or even the theological virtues, faith, hope, and love. The four calling birds are the evangelists, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the Gospels. The five golden rings are the first five books of the Bible. I think that's interesting. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Six geese a-laying refer to the 6 days of creation. Day one, the heavens, the earth, light and darkness. Day two, heaven. Day three, dry land, the seas and vegetation. Day four, the sun, the moon, and the stars. Day five, living creatures in the water, birds in the air. Day six, land animals and people. And day seven, God rested. Seven swans of swimming are the seven sacraments and the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit. And the seven sacraments, baptism, confirmation, Eucharist, penance, anointing of the sick, and holy orders and matrimony. 8 maids of Milken represents the 8 Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Nine ladies dancing are the nine fruits of the Holy Spirit. The fruits of the Holy Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And the ten commandments, I am the Lord your God. You shall not have strange gods before me. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Remember to keep holy the Lord's day. Honor your father and your mother. You shall not kill. You shall not steal. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife. You shall not covet your neighbor's goods. The 11 pipers piping, the 11 faithful apostles, Peter, St. Peter, Andrew, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, Bar-Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas Bar-James. And the 12 drummers drumming are the 12 doctrines in the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, and the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. Amen. Now, Representative Sutton, had you heard of all that before?
You know, I am so glad that you brought that up. I was trying earlier today. I was listening to exactly that song by exactly that same artist, Bing Crosby, and I was trying to remember because I knew that I had once upon a time heard a story about how those were all mnemonic devices to remind people of certain key points of Christianity. And for the life of me, I could not remember what it was. So I am certainly glad that you brought that up tonight. That takes a load. I had this sub process going on in the back of my brain trying to fix that, and I could not remember where I'd heard that or read it at some point. So I'm very glad you brought it up.
Well, when you think about the politics of the time in England, I mean, the Catholic Church was persecuted between 1834 and 1834 to 1829. I mean, and then you look at what's going on in our country today, and so lot has changed. Exactly. And Mike, what do you think about that?
Well, I'm going to give you another take. I've heard that explanation of the 12 days of Christmas too, but the essence of Christmas can be summed up in three journeys, each by three people, which brings the essence of this season right into our own age. The first of those journeys was the original journey of Joseph and Mary to Bethlehem. The third person on that journey is the unborn child Jesus himself. The second trio are the wise men, the magi, wise men, if you will. They came bearing gifts for the newborn king. And the third journey was by Frank, Jim, and Bill, who upon seeing God's creation from a vantage point never before experienced by man, sent a message back to the rest of us of the awesomeness of God's creation. Now, you might not know Frank, Jim, and Bill, but if I provided their last names, you might remember when Frank Borman, Jim Lovell, and Bill Anders, the crew of Apollo 8, sent this message to all of us on the good earth.
Upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, Let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light. Day was good, and divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning was the first day. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament, and divided the waters which were under the firmament, the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament, and the evening and the morning was the second day. And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear, and it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he sea. And God saw that it was good.
From all of us,
from
to all of you,
to all of you.
We close with good night, good luck, a Merry Christmas, and God bless all of you on the good earth.
Wow, that was very interesting. And you know, Mike, I thought that you had, there was another one that I thought you was going to refer to as well. You know who I thought you was referring to? You know, the donkey that Joseph took Mary on and went to, you know, Bethlehem and then also in Egypt and all that. That very donkey would be a four, you know, was of the donkey that Jesus rode into Jerusalem when he went into Jerusalem. So there was a relation there. So I just thought you, yeah.
No, I hadn't heard. I actually hadn't heard that.
Oh, yeah, that's pretty interesting stuff.
Definitely good foreshadowing there. I like that.
Yeah, very much so. And so that was excellent, though. I do remember that, Mike. I do remember that, too. So that was quite well. That was quite good.
I was glued to my TV when that happened, and I recorded the what they did. You know, the reading of the first 10 verses of Genesis. And the next year, I put that instrumental version of O Holy Night behind it and made a Christmas card out of it.
Oh, very nice.
Wow. Well, Doc, what do you think about all this so far?
First off, I always thought the three in the song was the Magi. That's always what came to my mind with that.
Mm-hmm.
But as I'm listening to what Mike was playing, all I could think of, can you imagine the outrage, the anger, the venomous hatred, the sheer terror that would go through our country if they played something like that on the evening news?
Oh, my.
Now, I mean, that's how far we come.
I worked for a Christian radio station back then, and I played it on my newscast.
Yeah, but I'm talking like if Fox News had the International Space Station, let's say they decided, hey, that was a good thing to do. Let's do that this Christmas. And they did that. The people's heads would explode. They're reading from the Bible. Oh, my God.
Well, you know.
There would be riots. Dogs and cats would be living together. It would be pandemonium, I'm telling you.
Doc, you're getting close. The Madeline Murray O'Hare, one of the most famous atheists in existence who ever lived, she filed suit against NASA for allowing that to happen.
Yeah, see,
yeah,
there you go.
She'd have won today.
Speaking of suits, I got some more information on that Supreme Court case. The number of the case is 22-380. Now, Mike looked at it and he said it was being blocked by some kind of malware thing. But what I heard from the sources that are following it and reporting it is that it's gotten to the point where they're going to discuss it. Or it's right before that. It's right at the point where it's been approved to go to discussion or something at that point. But
let me know when they do. Doc,
yeah,
I'm
waiting with bated breath, baby.
Yeah, when that happens, because when they do oral arguments, those are recorded and we can download them.
Right. Now, for those of you that don't know what this is, a group of brothers, and I don't remember their name. I didn't get their name, unfortunately. But a group of brothers filed something with the Supreme Court, a petition or something. Apparently, 100 members of Congress had a problem with the election, and they filed a motion, and that motion was ignored by 300-plus people in Congress, the sitting president, the vice president, all of them. And in doing so, technically, they broke their oath of office. So these brothers pursued it. And from what I've been told by the sources, the opposition had a chance to squash it. And I guess they didn't take it seriously because they missed it. So then it moved forward to the Supreme Court. Now, if they take it to a vote and the vote, they get for that vote, yes, this happened. It doesn't matter whether the election was stolen or not. That's not what's the question. The question is a motion was made and they violated their oath by not acting on it. And if the Supreme Court says, yes, they did that, 300-plus members of Congress, including the president and vice president, need to be removed immediately. The court can have them removed immediately. There's no special elections. They are basically committed treason, and according to the Constitution, they need to be taken away from where they're at. Pencils down, step away from your desk. Now, I mean, that's the information I got. Ms. Sutton, can you elaborate on what I'm saying at all, or do you know what I'm talking about?
I know that I have seen that case. I don't know what's going to be heard or not. That seems still to be up in the air, last I heard, and maybe something has changed just in the last couple of days. But the scenario that you outlined, I can't even imagine what that would look like.
We've never had it in this country. This is unprecedented.
No.
Remember, folks, you heard it here first.
Yeah.
These are truth. We give you the truth. This is unprecedented. Now, I don't know how the law works. Would Trump be reinstated? I don't know. But I know it would create a power vacuum we've never had before.
And the
100 that are left are going to have to handle everything. What?
Yeah. I'm just trying to figure what mechanism we have. We've never put a mechanism in place to deal with that.
They'd have to follow the line of succession.
After the vice president would come the secretary, the speaker of the house, and then head of each of the cabinet departments in the order in which they were created. I believe that's right.
Okay. Well, the speaker of the house would definitely be one of the ones removed because you can hear it. Let's be real.
Current president of the Senate.
Yeah.
Well, which is the vice president, I guess, but.
Right.
If this goes through, you know what would be the appropriate saying?
I got to straighten this lad out. Thing like this could warp his mind for life.
Yeah. This could blow up our country forever.
It would definitely ring to the statement, truth will out.
Oh, my, yes.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and it would definitely, you know, it would give credibility back to rule of law in the United States, which I'm sorry to say is lacking.
True.
You know, there is no credibility in rule of law anywhere in this country. And it's sad. You know, you look at places like Chicago. More people have died in Chicago than in the last three wars that we've had. Do you know that?
That is true.
It's crazy. You know, it's more dangerous. I mean, we are literally one step away from a third world country, folks.
Some of our inner cities would already.
I pray this works out.
Yeah, I would agree with you for the most part there, but I would have to disagree with you on one little point there. And I'm looking
What's
at
that?
Here in Kansas, where we're at here, we got the best state representative here in the whole USA. So
I don't doubt that, Don, but I'm talking cumulative. Kansas can't carry the country, unfortunately.
Well, we can. We'll do it if we have to.
you'll carry that burden? You got our back?
If we got to do it, we got to do it. You know,
Doc,
that's the way it goes.
Doc,
yes, sir.
Federally,
yep.
We have the best government money can buy.
We definitely do. China can attest to that.
Yeah.
Did I say that out loud? Sorry.
You know, the sad thing about that, Mike, is how much money we throw away in a rot hole, you know, when we throw stuff that don't work and we just keep putting more money into programs that just become bureaucratic.
Well, you know, this is beginning to become institutionalized. Have any of you ever watched the so-called Undercover Boss?
Yes,
I've heard of it.
Has a very simple premise. The CEO of a company will disguise himself along with assistance from the Hollywood makeup crew so that he's not recognized by his own people. And when he reveals himself, he solves a number of problems of three people in his in his company. And
yeah, he goes in as a lowly employee.
Every time you hear him say it, he says, "I'm going to give you $40,000. I'm going to give you $10,000." They throw money at the problem. But what happens when the money runs out? The problem's still there.
Exactly right.
Well,
I
did hear some good news.
I wouldn't be a bit surprised if that money that he's passing out doesn't come from the coffers of the company. It comes from the coffers of the advertisers for that program.
Oh, good shot at it. Yeah.
Probably. I heard some good news the other day. I heard that a number of the school board meetings, a number of the boards have been flushed out, been changed out. New representatives, a very strong conservative showing in the school boards across the country. Now, I haven't been able to confirm that, but if it is true, it's a step in the right direction.
It's true here in our little area here in Kansas, though, right here where we're at. Ain't that right there, Bill?
That is exactly right. We're kind of ahead of the curve on that, but... But yes, the voters spoke loudly at the last election, and we just happen to have the candidates there to answer that call.
Yes, I mean, the big concern with that is the teachers are coming from the woke colleges, okay? So they're going to be coming in, and there's going to be a battle between the teachers and the school board. But the school board gets to decide what the material is taught. So, and they can also set policies to keep the woke out of this classroom. Because the parents don't want that. You know, we don't want the race baiting. We don't want, you know, any sexual predation or training or indoctrination or grooming or any of that to our kids. You know, we want to teach them ABCs and teach them real history, stuff that actually happened. You know, and then maybe the appreciation for what we have will come back. Because too many kids, you hear them, they don't appreciate what's been given to them. They take it for granted. I was talking to a gentleman the other day. He's very good at what he does, and he can't seem to keep a job. And the reason being is he gets there and he works there for a couple years. And then after he starts looking around and everybody else is rising up, and it turns out they just forgot that just how important he is. So he'll leave and go to another company, and next thing you know, they crash because he's gone, and they don't realize just what they had. And too many kids are like that, the video games and everything. Speaking of which, oh, this is something I wanted to bring up. If you got kids that are watching YouTube videos, and I have children that watch YouTube videos, on a couple of these videos, you'll hear these little plants put in where they'll mention the flag. You know, oh, it's just, don't tell me you're one of those people that wasn't the flag. It's just a flag. And they move on to the next thing. They plant these little seeds. And you have to speak up. You can't just let that go unchallenged. Now, I can't do anything about the YouTuber. I mean, I've actually seen it on several of them. So the father's job, you need to speak to your children and make them understand that it's not just some old rag. It's not just like any other cloth. It actually represents something. Mm-hmm. You know, when a flag waves, it's not the air moving. It's the dying breath of everyone who stood for it.
Well, you know what they're trying to do, don't you? You know what they're trying to do. They want these kids coming up to do this.
Follow the yellow brick road.
Yeah. That's it.
And in order to do that, we know there's one thing that we know.
Some people without brains do an awful lot of talking.
Yeah, they're all in Washington.
A good chunk of them.
Did I say that out loud? It's odd watching it happen. And I've read it in the history book. I've studied history. I mean, that's one of my hobbies, history books, history stories, history movies, documentaries, you name it. I mean, I'd rather do that than anything else other than burn wood. And I've noticed a trend, and if you've ever read history and said, what would I have done back then? The answer is you're doing it right now. You know, there are camps in China right now. I saw a video, it was leaked out, of these Chinese people, a guy in a white bio suit, and he's walking. He's like the Pied Piper, and there's this trail of people behind him, and they're being led to these tonics boxes that are set up like little studio apartments, and they were told they were contagious. No test, just in they go. And these are inhumane conditions. And then I hear reports, and I've seen pirated videos. I don't know if the validity of them, but I know my governor signed an emergency order during COVID to build these things in my state. I don't know where they're at. But emergency FEMA camps are going up all over the country. You know, it's scary to think of the people that are perpetrating this stuff. They are demonic. They don't care. And people need to be aware of this stuff. I don't know. I mean, I can't. What I want you to do is do your research. Look into it. The last thing they want is an aware public. They'll get you distracted with race, religion, and videos and what's trending. And you're not paying attention to what they're doing. They're passing laws to reduce your freedoms, restrict your movement, all in the guise of public health and public safety. And, you know, that the World Health mm-hmm. Organization, Biden just signed our little country away on that, believe it or not. They can call a pandemic called martial law across the world, and we're supposed to just lockstep follow their orders. I don't see it happening, but on paper they can make it happen. So wake up, folks.
And a lot of things are on paper these days.
Whether you like it or not, it's going down. Yeah.
Well, if we protest loud enough and strong enough, they'll sing a different tune.
You cursed rat! Look what you've done! I'm Melody! Oh, what a world! What a world! Who would have thought you could destroy my beautiful wickedness? Oh, no! No! I'm going!
Well, you know the Wicked Witch there, we know that the Wicked Witch there was a Democrat. We know that, right?
Yeah. You know what else?
Yeah,
you mean
you're saying?
Are you sure you don't mean Dummy-crat?
Yeah. You know what else they'll be saying? I would have got away with it if it wasn't for the medicine kids.
Bill, was it that you that was telling us and showing us that the Wicked Witch was a Democrat because the Wicked Witch's soldiers were singing? Oh, you will pay? Was it something like that?
Oh, we owe the old one.
Yeah.
Oh, it was called the March of the Winkies.
And I think
you mean this right here?
They met the big guy. That's it. And I think the old one in modern vernacular has been changed over to the big guy.
Yeah.
At least per Hunter's laptop, anyway.
Yeah, it'd be like the end of the Scooby-Doo. I would have got away with it if it wasn't for them menacing kids.
Yeah.
Yeah, we think they're big and powerful, like they're creatures like this.
Lions and tigers and bears. Oh my!
Lions and tigers and bears.
Oh my!
I couldn't resist that.
Stand tall, my brothers. The storm is coming. We must all ride it together. You know?
Oh, yeah. 23 is going to be an interesting time.
Oh, I can't wait. Stock up on commodities. Something you can trade.
Exactly.
What are we going to do when they go to this digital currency?
Well, right now, digital currency is in the toilet. So I kind of had the mind to stockpile on that, and I've got a little bit of it socked away, but right now it's worth basically nothing for the most part.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, I think that was a trial run. I think when the government, I mean, that was that one guy running it, and he kind of set up whatever, a Ponzi scheme or something. But the theory behind it is, because I think it's the way they do it in China right now, the government controls the currency, and they can lock it up. You spent too much money, you can't get no more. You did something, and we're going to penalize you.
Yep, they absolutely can do that. In fact, China has, I don't know, maybe five times or so locked up Bitcoin.
Yeah.
Saying that no one can buy or sell it or use it.
I got an idea. I mean, it's not my idea. It's something we did once upon a time in this country. I think the communities will go back to putting their own currency. You know?
Yeah, we ran into a lot of troubles when we did that, though.
Yeah, but, you know, I mean, it'll go back to the barter system.
Exactly.
I mean, I'm not going to play. They'll cut me off. I get a check from Uncle Sugar. That'll get cut off. I've been expecting to get cut off any time now. You know, I can't go into the VA hospital because my views on COVID. So, you know, but, you know, so sooner or later they're going to come to it. It's going to come to that point where they're going to say, okay, we can pull your money. And I really don't know what's going to happen. I'm not going to play with it. You know, we go back to the barter system.
Yeah. When the government takes that much control of currency, we are absolutely on a very short path.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of people are going to freak because their 401k is going to tank.
Yeah, I'll be one of those.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. Best I would recommend is get assets.
You know what they do? The Democrats act without thinking, like this points out.
You live here?
Yes.
Or maybe you know what a zombie is.
When a person dies and is buried, it seems a certain voodoo priest who have the power to bring him back to life.
Horrible.
It's worse than horrible because a zombie has no will of his own. You see them sometimes walking around blindly with dead eyes, following orders, not knowing what they do, not caring. You mean like Democrats?
Exactly.
Oh, I got tons of this stuff.
I was just thinking of that clip, Mike.
I got tons of this stuff.
Bill, you know, what other show will you find all this material that we come up with here at Deeper Truth?
Well, you know, I can't... Once upon a time in the 70s, there was a cartoon show called The Banana Splits. Maybe there.
I remember that.
Maybe there, but that's about the only that's the only one I can think of that comes close to this show, man.
Oh, I think we're a little more classy than Banana Splits. They had better costumes.
They had great costumes.
Well, This, I take, because I was not happy with what happened in Georgia, you know, about the situation with Walker, because I was hoping so much that he would win. And do we just have that many homegrown socialists and communists and Marxists today based as a result of our public school system and collegiate, you know, higher places of learning that it's going to be this way forever now? Is that what I'm –
I don't think it'll be this way forever, but yeah, you're right. That's why.
Yeah, forever's a long time.
Yeah. I mean, it comes down to basic economics. You cannot survive on what they're trying to do. First off,
right.
You know, we've got 5 million new people in the country, folks. 5 million, and like what, 200,000 a day is what they're estimating? It's growing. It'd probably be another 10 million or total 10, 15 million before we cut the switch it off. So basic economics, the system cannot keep carrying on. So eventually it's going to crash. And then it'll be, oh, we learned our lesson, which we didn't. And we'll build it back up. We'll fix it because that's what we do in this country. We fix it. When put to the fire, Americans will step up. We'll fix it, and then we'll forget it. We'll do it all over again because that's what we've done for the last 60, 70 years. It's crazy. You get somebody in office where gas is low, jobs are plentiful, everybody's getting along. Oh, no, let's change it and go back to high gas prices and no grocery bills or no grocery. I mean, it's crazy, but it's a cycle. We'll get through it, you know, hopefully.
My mom always said life was like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get.
Amen.
What was that saying? Speaking of that cycle that we're describing here, there was a saying, and I'll probably mess it up, but it had something to do with hard times create hard men create easy times. Easy times create soft men. Soft men create hard times.
Amen. You got it right.
Mm-hmm.
I say that a lot, you know.
And that's what's going to happen.
Well,
you know, we've gotten soft. We've gone through a period over a generation where we really had no existential threat to speak of at all. Life is easy. Life is good. The standard of living in America is
beyond belief.
Yeah, absolutely. You look anywhere else in the world, and you're just like you're amazed at even abject poverty in America is upper middle class in most of the rest of the world. And
I can attest to that firsthand.
Yeah, exactly. And the more you travel, the more you see it. So yeah, if you've seen it, it's just crazy. But what happens then, that's not a natural state for humans. We have to have something to fight. That's what we do. And so when things are comfortable, we fight ourselves. We draw up bizarre lines to fight about, you know, race, religion, gender identity, I guess, is a new one. We just come up with bizarre things to fight about. Because we've got nothing. In fact, we might even come up with a disease that's not particularly fatal, but it's something to be afraid of. It's something to be afraid of. It's an existential threat, and we need that in our psyche. We need something to be afraid of, something to fight against. And when things turn easy, we turn stupid and just fight ridiculous random crap.
Mm-hmm.
Until things head south. And
now, one of these days, you're going to tell us.
Elvis has left the building.
Yep.
One of these days, it's going to be pencils down.
Exactly.
Bill, you hit it right on the head. I've been saying that for years. We've gotten soft in America. There ain't no doubt about it. I mean, think about it. Our forefathers rode cross country in a horse and buggy. And it wasn't roads, trails, or anything. And they had wild animals, packs of wolves, herds of buffalo the size of states that go stampeding. I mean, it was tough. Diseases, I mean, you know, their immune system would laugh at the diseases we hide from today. You know, because they were out in it. We have gotten so pampered. It's ridiculous. No, I mean, seriously, most people, if they actually had to work hard, now don't get me wrong, there are a lot of men and women out there that work hard on a daily basis. But if you had to survive, I mean, just, Not for the paper made up money, but to go out, pull your food, drag it home, prepare it, make your own clothes, make your own fuel, all that stuff. Most people would die out. They couldn't do it. But just 2-3 generations ago, that's exactly what our parents and grandparents, great grandparents did. We have the potential to be extremely prosperous in this country. Our gross national product, somebody did the math, where every single man, woman, and child, if we didn't waste the money that we're wasting, could walk away with about $250,000 a year. But we waste it on, like you said, Bill, fighting over this, that, and the other. We need a committee, and we got to send them this money. And there's a war over there. Let's money launder billions and trillions of dollars, you know? I saw a video of Ukraine the other day. I saw a video on BBC, you know, this war-torn area. People are walking around talking on their cell phone, traffic lights, little kids holding on to daddy's hand. I'm like, what are they talking about? You know, I heard a report, this came from a news source, Ukraine ministers or whatever, the government officials, them buying mansions in Switzerland. with your money that you're sending to Ukraine. Just be aware of this. You know, we can fix it in this country, but we got to stop bickering among ourselves. That's first and foremost. And we got to bring masculinity back to the church. And that's first and foremost. After that, yeah, the domino effect will take care of itself.
Sorry, I got on a tangent.
I get on a tangent. I apologize.
Well, you talk about we fight anything. A New York City radio station in 1961 was promoting a movie called The Devil at 4 o'clock. I'm not going to ask you to take my word for it. Here's the actual promo.
Hello there.
Hello.
My name is Beauregard Mephistopheles. And I'm a real little devil. As a matter of fact, I've been doing devilish things for years, but now I'm sad because I've run out of devilish things to do. If you can tell me some, Columbia Pictures, whose terrific new film, The Devil at 4 o'clock, opens at the Criterion Theater October 18th, and WABC Radio have some prizes in store for you. In 25 words or less, describe the most devilish thing you've ever done and mail your entry to Little Devil, WABC Radio, New York 23. The winning entry will receive a transistor radio, and the next 50 winners will each receive passes for two to see The Devil at 4 o'clock, featuring an all-star cast at the Criterion Theater. All entries become property of WABC Radio. Decision of the judges is final. Entries must be postmarked no later than midnight, October 18th. Aren't we devils?
But they took that from a movie that actually, there was a movie called The Devil at 4 o'clock. It starred Spencer Tracy, who was a Catholic priest in this movie. And it had Frank Sinatra, yeah. And the Devil at 4 o'clock was about a volcano that destroys this island. And that's what
it was.
But
leper's colony, was it?
Yeah, it was. And I mean, it was on TV just the other day, just a couple of days ago, and it was a good movie. But what they did with that commercial
with that promo. It has nothing to do with that promo.
No,
nothing.
Well, now they're doing it in a cartoon. Disney's got a cartoon, Little Devil. Yeah, they promote Satanism blatantly, but you try to promote anything godly, and they come down like a hammer and try to squash you out.
Maybe what we need to do is flex our muscles.
We do too. The Geronimo, man. All we have to do is say no. No, we're not going to allow that. You can't have that. That I heard they almost canceled that show due to an outcry of people, and at the last minute they said they were going to cancel it, and then at the last minute they changed their mind. And I don't know if the people they canceled it and they stopped looking or what, but yeah, the only way this stops is when we the people say we've had enough. Okay, we don't like what you're doing, so we're not going to give you our money. Because you ever see that movie, They Live? If you ever get a chance, Rowdy Piper, it's about an alien takeover of the world, but that's not the important thing. I mean, it was a very well-done movie. There's a scene in it, it's all subliminal, where this guy's holding a dollar bill, and the star puts these glasses on, and he looks at the dollar bill. Without the glasses, it's a dollar bill, but you look at it with the glasses, and it says, "This is your God." I got a chill down my spine. I wasn't even Catholic at the time. I got a chill down my spine because that is about one of the truest statements I've ever seen in my life. This world, this whole world worships the almighty dollar. In any country or whatever, currency, they worship it. So you can control, you think you control with your vote? Good luck. You have better chance of controlling and making change with your dollar. Put it in the things you believe in. But if you got a company that's promoting something, and they may have a good soft drink you like or whatever, but if they're promoting evil, drop them like a bad habit. You know, what did Christ say? Take the mud off your shoes and walk away. Rip your eye out and pluck it at them if you have to. Get away from them.
Today,
and you crush them today, with your dollar.
Today is the feast of St. Hildegard of Bingen. And she said, be not lax in celebrating. Be not lazy in the festive service of God. Be ablaze with enthusiasm. Let us be alive. Let us be alive. Wake up. Burning offering before the altar of God. So that means this, make the Mass the center of our life. That's exactly what you're talking about. And so even in a world that's being shipwrecked, remain brave and strong, she said. So I just think that that's good advice right there coming from the saint for today. And it's just a powerful thing. And so we are, you know, all creation is a song of praise to God. And we need to put our, you know, faith, walk by faith and not by sight. And so that's, you know, Christmas, Christ, he is the victor. He is the victor. And he is in control. And whose side are we on? We're on his side. And so that's why it's important for us to, when we do vote, that we vote with clear eyes. We vote for the things that we hold true, those things that we support based on our holy faith. And if we did that, like I told Jane Fonda in a debate, if we lived the teachings of the Catholic Church, we would solve all the problems that we are facing. If we did live out the Holy Catholic faith, because Christ, go the right way. I mean,
you know,
marriages,
Don.
Yeah.
You know, just something that dovetails on that, and I lost my train of thought. In as recent as 1947, within many of our lifetimes here, a Chicago newspaper sent a reporter to New York at the time to cover the unveiling of a new version of the Bible. And they did that because that's what people wanted. That's what people bought newspapers for. They also... The Chicago newspaper also covered a number of sermons that were preached in the area of their circulation, because that's what people wanted. Now, if people want this garbage, that's what they're going to get.
Well, that's why. All right. Well, we're at that time. Representative Sutton, do you have any last thing that you would like to point out for this coming week?
You know, I think we've covered a lot of stuff, and I think everyone, spend time with your families, spend time with Christ, and get to Mass, and remember the purpose of what we're celebrating. And we are in Advent. Christmas doesn't start until the 25th. I'm glad you pointed that out, by the way. has always irritated me. The 12 days of Christmas end with the arrival of the Magi, not with the arrival of Santa Claus, all right?
Amen. Amen. And Jesus truly was born on December 25th, 2 B.C., and so that's something that we have shared a lot here, and we will focus, and we're focusing a lot on that. And so we will end here with, because we are at that time, and what a great, this was a great show. Thank you, Representative Sutton. Oh, that was awesome. And
well, thank
also,
you. We had good stuff coming in here.
Oh, you bet. And Mike, all those little, all that, those things that you share with us also, those were awesome. And Doc, all that that you share also, this has been a great show tonight. And God bless you. And so with that, tomorrow night with John Carpenter, we will be coming back same bat time and same bat station, Journey with Mary. And so here's the promo for that, and then we will end with that. God bless you all, and Merry Christmas.
Sunday nights at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, join John Carpenter for A Journey with Mary, an in-depth look at some of the many places Our Lady has been throughout the world since 40 A.D. Came from the Catholic Defender Radio Network. That's Journey with Mary, 9 Eastern, 8 Central, Sunday nights on the Catholic Defender Radio Network. If you haven't been to Mass in a while, have you wondered what you've been missing? The creator of the universe, becoming the bread of life, just for you. Why not start attending Mass again and see for yourself what you've been missing?